This is Message, M126. God's Plan of Salvation. A word given by Cecil J. DeCille, in the 70s.
I was speaking to a person recently, and God gave me a new line, a new dimension in which to speak to the person. Said, well, you have been submitting to the wrong spirit all your life. You have been submitting to this wrong spirit that caused you to be doing wrong things in your life. Well, if you want to start doing right things now, if you want to start serving God now, there's only one way you can do it, by submitting to the right spirit, to the Spirit of God. So I said, well, I'll submit to the Spirit of God. Then the person says, now, how do I submit to the Spirit of God? Then you say, well, you submit to the Spirit of God by accepting the death that He died on Calvary as your death. So you lay down your life just as He laid down in His life, but you won't have to die because He died already. You'll only receive the death within your body. And the work is done. And it seems to me that in that dimension, people will be able to grasp it. A professor, a man who he teaches at one of the colleges down in Miami, he read the number two book there, the blue one, Living Water, and the woman gave him the book the morning, one of his teachers who came to my service, and she gave him the morning, and the next morning she called him and said, hello, Mr. So-and-so. He said, please call me brother. He says, from I read this book, I'm not the same anymore. And he began to explain what happened to him, because the dimension in which the thing was written was something that he could understand about the working of God within the human soul and how this operation takes place and what is done. So I don't know how many scriptures I'll use tonight, but let us just go as the Spirit of God leads. By grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, he said. It is the gift of God. And when God made man, he made salvation. He made salvation from the time he made man, for he knew that man needed a savior and would need a savior, but man did not know that he would need a savior. So God had to wait on man until he realized that he would need a savior, because he could not give him a full savior. Thus, our operation is upon a basis with God. We must know that we are on the receiving end of God, that we need it. So all our operations, he said, at the mercy seat is a place where God and man meet. We'll draw the inevitable three circles. And let us consider again the whole significance of salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is redemption. Amen. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, did we receive redemption? And if we see redemption, how did it operate? Let's turn to John 3:16, which is the chapter that we generally read when we are talking to people about being saved. We could start from the third verse instead of the 16th verse, and then we go to the 16th. Jesus answered, let's read the beginning of it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. This man, this Nicodemus man, why did he, a lawyer, a man who was well versed in the scriptures, why did he go to Jesus by night, because the law that he studied made him realize how deficient he was. The law could not make him perfect. It could not bring righteousness. It could not deliver him. And he was definitely continuously frustrated in God. And so he went to Jesus by night and said, I know you are a teacher come from God. Maybe you can answer this question which is upon my heart, this great thing that bothered every man of God down to my time. He said, can you answer this thing for me? Jesus, yes, man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look, brethren, Jesus did not say he cannot enter. He said he could not see. Amen. Because the Bible said the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom that God is building on earth tonight is within men. Amen. And God said to him, if you are not born again, you can't see it. How you are coming to me now, expecting me to tell you that you might see the kingdom of God, and you are blind, and unless you are born again, you cannot even see this kingdom. Let's go on. Nicodemus, the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, he was saying now, the way to enter is to be born of water and the Spirit. Water is a sign of the washing of the word that you're going to receive. And the Spirit of God, you've got to be born of the Spirit of God before you can enter into the kingdom of God. Meaning to say, when the kingdom of God enters into you, then you enter into the kingdom. Amen. Can we see the implications? If the kingdom of God is not in you, you are not in the kingdom. In other words, you must fall into the water, and the water must get into you before you are really in the water. In other words, before you are really a part of this water. So Jesus gave him a very, very clear picture here. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Meaning to say, boy, if you got back into your mother's womb, if it were possible, and you get birth again, you would be again born flesh. Therefore, what you need is a spiritual rebirth. Something must take place within your spirit and within your soul before you are reborn. Now, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now remember, he did not say he who is born. He said that thing, that seed which is within you. For God said, and his seed remaineth in you. And you cannot sin because the seed of God is in you. Now, that seed which is in you, which is born of the Spirit, is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. the wind blew it where it listed, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. In other words, the one that is born of the Spirit, you don't expect that you are going to discern him with carnal physical eyes. He is like the wind that you can't see, but you're only feeling it. Amen. You see the effects of it, but you can't really see it with your eyes. And this is what Jesus was trying to say. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have heard, seen, and we receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? This is the difference between our doctrine, our gospel, our understanding of the word of God in this hour, and that which we had in the past down there. What we knew down there, though it was spiritual, though it was about God, it was like carnal to these things which we are understanding now. And we are being lifted in a higher realm of understanding. And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Isn't that peculiar? Isn't that very peculiar? Jesus was standing there to him, talking to him, and telling him at the same time that he is in heaven. Isn't that peculiar? It's not one place in the Bible. It's not two places. It's not three places. It's several places. Jesus Christ stood up there. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, in John chapter 14. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, right now, there ye may be also. Jesus continually made that same statement, that the Son of Man, which is now in him, no man goeth up to heaven except the Son of Man, which is now in heaven. Amen. And he was standing right there. Amen. Jesus was in the Father, and the Father was in him. He was a man dwelling in two realms. Even as he expects you to dwell in two realms. And when you talk about going up into heaven, being caught up into heaven, I hope you will understand from these scriptures of Jesus what he means by being caught up or going up. He was not talking in the natural realm of going up, for as we have already explained, how would you go up from a round ball? How would you make up from a round ball? If this were the earth here, and this is the North Pole, and this is the South Pole, and therefore this would be, say, east, and the backside of it would be west. Okay, the people who live on top here, if Jesus should appear in the air coming down, they would say he's coming down. But for the people down here, what would he be doing? He'll be going up. And you see, it was just not, it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable. So up and down, as mentioned in the scriptures, must mean up into a higher realm of the spirit and down into a lower realm. We have three realms. We have heaven above, we have earth beneath, and we have hell below. Three realms. So when a man is progressing in God, you say he's going up. Amen. When he's digressing and going down, down, down spiritually, he's going down into hell. For hell is a dimension, amen, not necessarily under our feet, but the Bible said that Satan was cast down into hell, reserved in chains of darkness, amen. And yet Satan is up and down giving you a hard time. Don't you see? If Satan is in hell, being in chains of darkness, up and down giving you a hard time, and he's in this realm, and Jesus is in heaven, and Jesus is up and down blessing his people, the saints of God, the angels are in heaven, and yet they are here serving the heirs of salvation. Amen. God is in heaven, and yet God is everywhere. Can't you see that it seems to be a contradiction? If you dare to put heaven on one of those planets, you are in trouble. For heaven is a realm, a state. Amen. Hell is a realm, a state, a dimension. And those words are the only words I can use. I know they are not adequate. But to understand what a dimension is, Jesus Christ came in through the natural wall, and he stood there before them, and he said, "Feel me, for I am flesh and bone." And they felt him, and he was a natural physical being. And they felt him, and he said, "Peace be with you." And he just disappeared, melted into thin air, as it were. But that wasn't a fact. He didn't melt into thin air, for your information. I mean, I'm going to trust you with with my thoughts on the matter. Amen. If you speed up the vibration of any substance, any matter, it becomes invisible to our natural eyes that are on a special certain vibration. Amen. You can speed up the vibration of matter by the application of heat. But if you apply heat to Teddy, then he'll do something that we'd call burn up. And if he burns up, then we really couldn't see him anymore. That doesn't mean he doesn't exist, but his matter would change form. But this is what God is doing, that man and all the beings who have ascended into the heavenly realm will have the ability to deal with their bodies as with a spirit. Will be able to change the frequency of their bodies to go through any matter, and matter won't be any barrier to them. They will have this power to change the frequency of their bodies. Amen. Because they have ascended in the spirit. That it is as simple as ABC, yet it looks to us like magic. Amen. Spirit matter is real matter. This is not real matter. This physical is not real matter. This thing is made by spirit. It is the spirit that makes these sturdy stones that we see here, that we think are so powerful and so reasonably strong and firm. They're not firm. They have been made. They are the figment of the spirit. The spirit made them to appear to us this way. And God said he had subjected us in hope in a material realm. This is a lesser realm than the spirit realm, for the spirit make these things. Amen. And the spirit make them do appear. Amen. And he said, the things that do appear, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 2, he said, the things that do appear were made by the things that cannot be seen. Amen. so we find that reality is the things we can't see. Material is not reality. Amen. So, praise God. We come to a place where we are understanding what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. Let's go on a little further. He said, no man hath ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the law of redemption. Praise be to God. God has a law in the book for us to understand what is the law of redemption. God said the first fruit of the land is belonging to God. He said the first of your animals, the first of your children, the first of your everything is belonging to God. And then he went on, he said the first foal of an ass. God don't want you to offer a sacrifice with a jackass. He said it belongs to God, redeem it with a lamb. So instead of the ass dying, you kill a lamb and you redeem the ass with the lamb. And so God has the law of redemption, that life for a life, one soul can die that the other soul might live. Because if one soul dies, that soul pays for the debt of the other soul. And the wages of sin is death. Now, did you ever ask yourself the question, why is the wages of sin there? It's not God that did it. God only stated the law that was. Amen. Sin is the contrary nature of the devil. Sin is death brought on by the devil. So when you get sin into you, you get death into you. Blessed be to God. 1 Corinthians 15 says that the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is the law, and the sting of death is sin. Amen. Now watch it. You have the sting of death in you. How can you live? The sting of death is going to arise and sting you one day, and you believe death is coming from out there. No, death was already in here. So God had to arrange a way for us to get rid of sin, and that is the only way to get rid of death. Amen. So one law militates against the other and struggles against the other. The Bible said the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of sin is the law of death. For if you have sin, you can't live. That's why Moses was able to escape death. Not death, but able to escape going into the hole of the devil, because his sin had been paid for before he died. And so the angel took his body, and Satan couldn't get Moses. So Moses was put with Elijah, and both of them appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration together. We are thinking of a man, of a people which you are, who have been exonerated from death because the price of death has been paid for you and sin has been eradicated from your nature. Amen. This could only be done by another soul paying for the sin which you had committed. And if a soul, if I paid for you, then I would die. Amen. And you also would die too, because you would sin again. I could only pay for you, and so it necessitated a continuous flow of blood, a continuous flow of life, to pay for the life that had been forfeited by death, by sin. Amen. To pay this continuous flow, and as the Bible showed, it said many bulls perished, many goats, many sheep. There was a continuous flow of blood to keep Israel alive. Amen. But one man came, and this man had no sin of his own. So he said, okay, because I have no sin of my own, I am going to take all the sin of the world. But because within the man's soul something had taken place, the Christ of God had come forth within the soul of Jesus. That's why we call him Jesus the Christ. Because within his soulish realm, he had received the quickening which made him the Christ. Amen. Now, he could not die, for he was the life of God. In his veins was the life of the living God. He couldn't die. So Jesus had to will his own death. Jesus couldn't go to hell, for he had the spirit of the living God in him. And no man could go to hell who had the Christ in his soul. You can't go to hell, not even if you tried. Amen. Because you have the spirit of the living God in your soul, you cannot go to hell. And this is what Jesus did. On the cross, he took sin upon himself. Amen. The Bible said God couldn't look at sin. He had to turn his back from it. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God in the man could not stand the sin. The Christ man left him. And for the first time in the creation of God, a being had been completely alienated from Almighty God. Jesus Christ knew the depth of agony that no man ever knew or will ever know. No demon spirit know that agony. I tell you why. The demon spirits, when they were cast down into a realm of life, a realm of light, where they could squeeze life out of you, where they could suck the last drop of life that was coming from God, out of God's creation, where they feed upon humanity and upon the life of God which God has put in our human realm. They are sucking out the life out of our human realm. That's why we have so much trouble and torment. A demon spirit fall upon you, he puts his torment on you, and he gets free. Amen. So his hell is not complete. That is why Jesus said he's going to cast them into the lake of fire. And what is the lake of fire? The lake of fire is a complete alienation from humanity, from sucking life out of humanity. Amen. And we are the people who are going to cast the devil out. And this is the third heaven that he'll be cast out of, and there'll be no more place for him. Amen. The Bible said there will be no more place found in heaven for him. He said Lucifer and his angels will be cast out. Why? He has taken the last realm. The third realm is the realm of man in which we dwell. Satan has been sucking the life out of us, and we are arising by the Spirit of God to cast him out once and for all. Glory to God. Amen. He'll have no more place to go. no other realm. He lost in the higher realm. The angel, God sent one angel to cast him out. He lost in the realm of the stars, where he sucked his life from in the times when God had cast him out of heaven and he became prince of the power of the air. And then God allowed him to fall down on man. He had chosen to come down and dwell in man, for this is where he thought he held God. You see, he is conscious, you know. You think Satan loves you? He looks down at us, on us as beings that couldn't beat him. And so God is always pitting a man against the devil. God calls Satan and says, "You consider my servant Job? He'll give you a licking." Satan say, "You give me a chance with him and I show you something." Amen. And God let go Job and the devil. And the devil with all his power tore the life out of the man, threw him down there, put him in boils and blisters for 3 long years. And Job never denied God. Job held on like a rock. He said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall appear in the latter days on the earth." Amen. He said, "Moreover, I know that I will see him with my own eyes, with this very flesh." He looked at the worm. He said, "Worms, eat your fill. Take the flesh away. Crawl away with me, with parts of my flesh. For this same flesh that you're crawling away with, I am going to claim it back from you. And I'm going to stand before my Redeemer." Amen. Amen. "In this same flesh," he said, "blessed be to God." He knew his scriptures. He knew his Bible. He wasn't going to make Satan intimidate him. He stood upon the word of God for 3 years. And God said, "Boy, you made it." Amen. I'm sure the whole of heaven rejoiced. He said, "You gave him a licking. You gave him a run for his money." And Satan was really beaten. And he got a sign of the type of man that God is bringing forth in the earth in this hour. Men who will not recant. Men who know the word of God and they will stand to the last breath. God said, "These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth." He said they were not defiled with women. And he said they will follow the Lamb and obey his word, and they will not recant. These are what God called his army, his 144,000, his stone cut out of the mountain without hand. Amen. His man-child people. Amen. This is God's elite. Amen. That he will let go upon the devil at the appropriate time. This is why you're going through some tribulation. All the batterings you're going through, all the wars and the fighting, the sufferings and the pain, we are learning how to combat the devil. Praise be to God. He says if you resist him, he'll flee from you. So we find that the whole principle of life lies in the basic truth. The basic truth, brethren, if you don't understand the basic truth, when Satan knocks you, you can't stand. Yeah. Amen. Because no matter what Satan does with you, you are going to stand on top of him one day. Yeah. Amen. There's a sure fact. We have already got the victory, and he's a defeated foe. Amen. And he's only fooling around. Yeah. Amen. To make us feel that we are being beaten, but we have the victory already, and glory. This is the victory that we believe on the Son of God, and that we walk in his light, and that we walk in his life, and we maintain the testimony of the living God. Now, praise God, we find therefore that this man Nicodemus came to Jesus, verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so will the Son of Man be lifted up." The Son of Man became sin. He didn't only take sin onto himself. But look, brethren, there is no one sin that you could commit so simple that you could bear the punishment for it. For the punishment for the smallest sin is death. and you just couldn't bear it. So Jesus Christ bore this death, and he died as a man. I want you to believe that. He did not die as God. God couldn't die. Amen. He died as a man. God left him completely. And he was in utter darkness. And he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That time he spoke in tongues. Amen. He said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is to be interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't Greek. It wasn't Latin. It wasn't any known language. They say in our commentaries it was Chaldic. But all it was tongues Jesus was talking. He didn't speak Chaldic. Why at that moment should he speak in Chaldic? Amen. And so Jesus Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken by the Spirit of Christ within his own soul. He was forsaken by God, making the way clear for him to go into hell and to pay the price. He didn't say he was going to pay it, and then he didn't. He just had to pay the price, and he had to go into death, for death is hell. Amen. Death is hell. If you notice, when Paul speaks of the deaths of Christians, he doesn't say they die. He says they sleep. Them that sleep in Jesus. Amen. So he wasn't talking about the dead people when he talked about sleep. Now, Jesus went down therefore into hell, and the spirits tormented him. Oh boy. Hell rejoiced that got the man. Remember, Jesus gave the parable. He says that this man's son came because the stewards, they used the property for their own use, and they were doing bad, and he sent a servant, and they killed the servant. And so he said, I'll send my son. They will respect the son. He sent the son, and they killed the son. They said, here's the heir, we'll kill him, and we are going to get the property. And so Satan thought to himself that Jesus had made the final error to take sin on himself. For anything that comes in sin, he could manage it. And so he took him down and began to torment him. But the spirit that was in the man, the Christ spirit that had come forth in the man's soul, was the great high priest. Amen. Jesus Christ was the great high priest. And things in the heavenlies have their pattern on the earth. Are you with me? Yes. Things in the heavenlies have their pattern on the earth. So there is also a tabernacle in the heavenlies. There is a third heaven, which is the lowest heaven. There's another heaven where Gabriel and all his bright ones are. And there is another higher heaven, insulated, where God Almighty is. For God cannot remain with all his glory where his beings are. He will kill them with too much power and too much radiation. So he insulated himself in thick darkness and in clouds. And within that realm is the Holy of Holies. And so we find the high priest going up, and he offered his sacrifice. It took him 3 days to get through into the presence of God with the blood. He said, for the high priest, verily well, cannot go in except with blood. And at that he goes in once a year. And blessed be to God, it was the very day of the year. The very day, amen, of the grand jubilee year. Amen. In which this sacrifice should be offered, that Jesus Christ, his spirit, the Christ man, walked before the throne of God and presented the case before God the judge, and God judged the case. Amen. Now God had to judge his son as to whether he was guilty or innocent. And Jesus Christ was adjudged innocent. There was only one thing more for the man to be set free. When the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies with the blood, he takes the sacrifice that Teddy gives him, if he takes the sacrifice that I give him, he takes the sacrifice that you give him, and he carries our sacrifice by just the blood into the Holy of Holies. And when he offers his sacrifice before God, his wave offering before God in the incense, God adjudged the people of Israel free. Is that right? Amen. And then the joy bells begin to ring. And when the joy bells begin to ring, the people hear the sound of joy within the Holy of Holies, and Israel shout for joy. Amen. Well, as a type of the whole human race was Barabbas sitting in the jailhouse. And because of this man that died, Barabbas was set free. Amen. So this Spirit of God, this Christ man, went into God, took in the blood. Jesus was judged sinless, and whoops, he went down into hell. Amen. Into his body, into his soul, I should say. And when the light flashed in hell, all hell saw their Messiah. Yeah, all those that waited in darkness. And blessed be to God, the word of God said, oh, death, he said, where is your sting? You don't know what he was asking. He said, where is the sin on which you dwell? The sin that you take to hold men by. Hold them now, won't you? Amen. Where is your sting? He said, oh, grave, where is your victory? He said, he took captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He went down, the Christ man flashed the light of Jesus in heaven, and all men who waited for him saw their God. Amen. And I see Abraham rising up. Amen. I see Samuel rising up. I see all the men of God being quickened. And the Bible said he preached a sermon down in hell.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
It said he preached to the spirits in prison, and he took captivity captive. Hell fled. Amen. All the mighty spirits of hell fled away. And all just all people in hell who believed in Jesus came out. The Bible said, amen, Matthew 27 and verse 50 and 2, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not talking about now, this just the spirit resurrection. What happened is that their spirits arose. But Job, who said in the last days, he know that my Redeemer will stand on the earth, and I shall see him for myself. Job arose, and Joseph told them, he said, there's going to be a hallelujah time down in Jerusalem. He said, take my body with you out of Egypt. I don't want to rise up in Egypt. I want to rise up right down there in Jerusalem. He said, take my body with you and carry it. And they carried his bones down into Egypt. And blessed be to God, Joseph rose up. And he said, here am I, didn't I tell you? Amen. The Bible said that they went and showed themselves. They were so glad. It was a great rejoicing. Amen. They went and showed themselves to the people of Jerusalem. The ancient men show themselves physically, bodily, and see me, feel my hand, feel me. It is flesh and bone. Just as Jesus was doing, and so we found their salvation was complete. The salvation of the spirit, the salvation of the soul, and the salvation of the body. And this is what God guarantees. This is God's policy of insurance, which he gives. When you talk about life insurance, this is it. Amen. He is giving a life insurance, and he gives you a down payment of his goodwill, an earnest of the spirit. So God comes, and he, first of all, let's read the 14th chapter of John's Gospel and see what Jesus say here about the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. 14th chapter here, in the verse 16. Amen. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. No sinner man can receive the Holy Ghost, whom the world cannot receive. The people are telling us that we receive the Holy Ghost when we are saved. How can a sinner receive the Holy Ghost? Amen. You have got to be saved before you receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it clearly, it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Jesus was talking to his disciples who were not even saved yet. But he was telling them that the Holy Ghost was with them. Amen. That the Holy Ghost was with them. Somebody here wants to ask me the question, what about when Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Spirit. The Spirit of God had not come to earth in his internal operation. The Spirit of God was on earth all the while. He was falling upon the prophets of old, and he was giving them prophecies, but he was not permitted to go into humanity for one very, very, very reasonable reason. He couldn't. That's the reason. Because he had nothing to go on. If he came into a man, he would kill him. The Spirit of God could not come into you. How could the Almighty God come into you, a human being? He would kill you. So then we find that the Spirit of God was right there. But when Jesus breathed upon them and said, receive my breath, or receive the Spirit, he was saying unto them, I am issuing the Spirit to be your companion. Amen. I am going to leave you, so I'm leaving you with a companion, and he will be with you until he gets in you. Amen. Because the blood was not yet shed, the Bible said, the Spirit was not yet given. Hold that chapter there and turn to John chapter 7 and 38. 38 and 39. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. The only time the Holy Ghost could come to you is after Jesus was slain. Why? Very simple reason. The blood of Jesus Christ had to do a work in you before the Spirit could touch you. Amen. Hallelujah. The Spirit had no tool to work with. The blood of Jesus Christ was God diluted. Do you understand that? God had to dilute himself through Mary, through cloud, amen, through flesh, bring down himself to blood, mix himself in the bloodstream of a man, then let the man bleed, amen. And when the blood came out, the Holy Ghost had to pick up the blood and touch Teddy with it. Then there was a quickening within Teddy's soul. Now Teddy began to desire God now. Amen. Something new happened to him, and this is the process, God's divine order, which he had planned for man. So we find, he said here, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Two operations. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Do you realize here again Jesus was saying that he was in the Father at the time when he was standing up there? Amen. He was in the Father, and he was in heaven, although he was standing on earth. Praise God. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus Christ was a body, the Godhead bodily, incorporated God in one man. Amen. Now, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Jesus was saying that the Holy Ghost will come with the nature and authority of Jesus. Amen. He said he will teach you all things. Then Daniel comes in and said, in the last days, he said, knowledge should increase. So the Holy Ghost teacher is increasing knowledge. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Praise be to God. Now, let us see if we can draw what we've been talking about. We have the Holy Ghost outside of man. Then the Holy Ghost gets in contact with your spirit. Man's spirit. Man's spirit. And the Holy Ghost quickens your spirit, and your spirit sends a quickening through to the mind and to the will, and your will changes and your emotions and your desires cooperate, and you begin to desire something that you never desired before. Amen. Something that is not earthly, something that's not natural, something that's not reasonable. It's not reasonable for a man to desire what he didn't see, what he didn't feel, what he didn't hear about. But you begin to desire something. Now, because the Spirit sees the desire, he begins to encourage you, and you begin to feed that soulish realm with greater desire, greater intention, greater hunger. Hunger increasing, hunger increasing. Brethren, you know what spirit hunger is? Amen. Spirit hunger is this. Look, every spirit must manifest itself. If you are a lover boy, you've got to find somebody to love. Amen. That's it. The spirits out the street there, you just go out there, see them manifesting. Every boy is doing his thing. He's manifesting himself. He can't help it. A spirit must manifest. And so, when God plants a hunger within your soul, you begin to desire God. You begin to walk from place to place looking for word. Everywhere you hear a preacher, you run over there to see if he has anything new to bless you. Amen. And this is the desire which is born of God. Born of God. And so you begin to desire. Why is God keeping you hungry? Why won't he fill my soul? And you cry out until God slips in. Amen. Because the work has been done so that the blood is applied and he can come in. So he slips into your spirit. For he as yet cannot occupy your soul. What do you think would happen to you if God should occupy your soul tonight? If God rushes into your soul and take charge, first thing happen, you'd be changed. None of the plans you have for tomorrow, you'd carry them out. None of the desires you have for tomorrow, you'd carry them out. None of the operations you have going, you couldn't do your thing again. It would be God's thing now. Your mind would be changed. It would be a radical change that it may split your home right in two. Amen. That thing would alienate you from your parents, from your loved ones, your husband, your children. To them you would be just an idiot. Something would go wrong with you. They wouldn't understand you now. You'd be on a plane above humanity. You'd be seeing things that they can't see. You'd be hearing things that they can't hear. You'd be removed from the human realm too suddenly. Amen. So God said, I will do it for you in the best way. I'll plant a seed in your soul. And so the husbandman, which is the spirit, plants the seed of life within the soul. And the seed now is left to you to feed that seed, to water it. If you water it much, it grows much. If you don't water it, it don't grow. And so, some people are filled with the Holy Ghost. They receive the man-child within their souls. They don't feed him. He becomes anemic and hostile. And you are always worried in mind. You are always distressed in emotions. You are always upset. You are always wrong with your desires. Your will is always contrary to God. And you never find peace. Amen. Because the baby that is within you is crying for food. Amen. That which is within you is crying for something that you are not getting, you can't find. But those who become conscious of this burning within, they begin to seek food. Amen. And everywhere they hear of something, they go at it. They pick up their Bibles. They begin to hunt in the world. And they get words here and there. They begin to see visions. God help them on. Because the spirit is as concerned over his wife, the soul, as you are. are even more than you are. So we find the body here trying to pump death into the man. And devil is on top of the body. Amen. Giving you bodily manifestation. Making you feel, you know, it's so simple for people to twist off on a sideline. You know, a train going on. They had the famous case in the war when these men decided to turn the train off the right track. And they, the train going on at full speed with these Germans, and they switched the line. And the train went on the wrong line, and they had them going round and round in France instead of taking them to Germany. Well, this is the kind of thing. You are on the main line with God, and you're puffing on at full speed ahead. Somebody throw the switch. You're off on a sideline. You get hooked on a gospel. You get hooked on some sort of doctrine. Amen. And you begin to propound this doctrine above all things. And holiness, righteousness, feeding that hungry child within you is not being done. And so the body realm is one that is always trying to deceive. Amen. Amen. Because your body, people, well, with all due respect to manifestations of this kind, which do happen sometimes, I know some people, if they get a scratching right here, they know right away it's a message from somewhere. And they can tell you. And as I tell you, I went to see this woman. Actually, I didn't go to see her. She came to see me. And we were there talking, and I saw her looking at me like this. I said, boy, I wonder if she's going to spring on me. And she came and she put her hand out like this. And brother, I tell you, I saw it. She had some hairs in her hand. And every hair got right. It was weird. The hairs on her hand just got right up and stood up straight. And she said, you are a man of God. Amen. I made the hair stand up on her hand. So she believes in this manifestation. If her ears scratch her, it's another message she's getting, and all these kinds of messages you get in the body, well, the devil could give those messages too. Amen. The devil can scratch your ears. The devil can raise the hair on your hand. Amen. And it is pretty simple for him. So you must walk out of that realm. Yes. Get out of the body realm. Yes. We are in too much of a high place to go by these little physical things, because they can put us out of the way. Though I am not deceiving you that sometimes there I've seen manifestations in the body, like a sister that had a manifestation. If somebody's there with a pain in your side, immediately she would feel a pain in her side. And she'd say, there's somebody with a pain in your side. The person gets up and she pray for that person, the pain goes. And I am not one of those who will say God can't work by that means. It would be silly for us to say that. God does work by these means. And God will work by any means that you believe in. Amen. But God has a higher way and a better way. Amen. Than to work through the body, because the devil takes the body as his race course. And he has his weekly races in the body. He advertises his races. He knows exactly what he's going to do with the bodies for this week. And so he takes the body as his race track. Now, we find, therefore, that the spirit has been saved. Saved. The spirit has been saved when the Holy Ghost comes into your spirit. Therefore, beloved ones, to receive the Holy Ghost is absolutely necessary. When you call it saved, when you are quickened in your soulish realm, you are given the promise of God that ye may become sons of God. Isn't that what Jesus said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You are given the promise of God. He says exousia, authority to become sons of God. But when Jesus was leaving in Acts chapter 1 and I think verse 7, he says, I give you dunamis. I give you power, blasting force, explosive power. Amen. And the two words were so different. One was just authority to become the sons of God. The other word was dunamis, power over the power of the enemy. Amen. He says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, lo, I'm with you always. Now, when therefore you get the Holy Ghost within your spirit, then you are powerized. Amen. You receive firepower. Amen. And this power is to get your soul saved. Yes. This power is a contract, an insurance that your soul will be saved. Amen. It is an insurance that your soul will be saved. Now, let me find a scripture for you pertaining to that soul being saved. Let's look at Proverbs 20 and verse 27. And there we see a scripture about the spirit of man. Proverbs 20 and 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now, the Hebrew, you've got to understand the language in which we are dealing. The word belly to a Hebrew, it meant the deepest part of the man. The depths of his being is called his belly or his guts. Amen. These Hebrews would do such things that if they get sad, they would grab a towel and tie their bellies and begin to holler, really. And they can really make a sound when they are bawling. And so the scripture has translated, it said, the spirit of man is the candle of God, searching through the inward parts of the belly. So you see, it is the spirit of man, incorporated by the Spirit of God, that lights the soul, that puts the light within the soulish realm. Now let's go a little further, see if we can find another scripture. Acts 2 and 31 speaks of something that David had prophesied. Acts 2 and 31 speaks of David's prophecy. He said here, he seen this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Yes, we are speaking of the soul of man receiving a light within. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. beautiful Bible got torn. Yeah. Revelation chapter 12. And here we see an analogy, a story being told. Verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now the woman who was pregnant with child was the church. It wasn't a natural woman, because if you notice, she was clothed with the sun. Which woman is clothed with the sun? Being clothed with the sun, it means the glory of God was upon her. That's this church he's talking about, the pregnant church. Amen. Now, if a church is pregnant, where would the church carry that child? You see, if you are the church, then you could only carry the seed of God within your soul. Not in your body, not in your spirit, for the spirit is already taken by God. Therefore, in your soul, you are pregnant with the man-child. And this man-child here, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, the world, the kingdoms of this world, headed by these 10 governments, and having 7 heads governing and ruling the world system, under which the beast in which the beast will appear. This system is planning right now, tonight, to destroy this body. Yes, there are laws being put up to the government, which is asking the government to pass a law to outlaw all religion that is not basically orthodox according to the Council of Churches. And their case with the government is that the mental health of the United States has degenerated, and that it is caused by the Bible. There is one hospital down in Florida that somebody went to visit a sick and carried a Bible, and the doctor ordered her to either leave that Bible or get up. Don't bring that thing in here, he said. Don't bring that thing in here, he said. He said that is the cause of all these people being crazy, because the crazy people are repeating scriptures. So it is generally believed, and it is being encouraged by the World Council of Churches, that it's all the false doctrine that people like you and I are preaching that are upsetting the balance of America. Amen. Amen. So, to get rid of all this false doctrine, they are going to make it very easy for us to become a part of the World Council of Churches. And they will charge us that on the pain of imprisonment, we must not teach any other doctrine but what they say. Well, you know what Peter told them. Amen. You know what Peter told them, so they've got their answer coming. But you can see, therefore, that the man-child in every age and at every time, the people of God have been, the world government headed by the devil. The world government headed by the devil has tried to kill every man-child that was born in Israel to deliver the Israelites. In Moses' case, they kill all the boys, and God just allowed them to to take the very one they should kill, took him into the palace, fed him, taught him, gave him strength to destroy them. Then we find in the case of Jesus, they kill all the boy babies and they miss Jesus. And in the case of the man child, which is the fruit of this church or this group, this body, these people at this time who are getting the revelation of God, they are waiting to kill us. They are planning now to kill us. They arrested Brother Hinton down in Miami for keeping church in this house. Yeah. Arrested him for buying his property, putting trailers on his property and keeping church. Amen. And they didn't arrest all the other people that have their trailers all around them. Hundreds of people have their trailers all around. They didn't touch one of them. But they arrested him and put him in prison. Amen. For keeping church. So I'm trying to tell you that the world government, headed by the devil, is again about ready to kill the man child as soon as we come forth. He's making a mistake here. Amen. And she brought forth, verse 5, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Praise be to God. Turn around to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 17, and we see, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. Amen. So if the man child was caught up to his throne and Jerusalem was to be called the throne of the Lord, then the word caught up again faces us. Whether you are thinking of up in the sky, if you are a carnal man, you are going to think as over your head as being up. But if you are a spiritual man, you are going to think of up, being up in the spirit. Amen. And if the man child is caught up in the spirit, then he's caught up to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is another spiritual term for the body of Christ, the church, the realms of God within this world. So we find that the man child is going to be caught up to rulership. That's what he's going to be caught up to rulership. Now, you might have a hang up right here. On the man-child word there. But check it with me. The caught-up word, turn to Daniel.
And that scripture is Jeremiah 3:17, if you're making notes.
I said 4. That's right, 3:17. Jeremiah 3:17, for the record's sake. Now, praise God. Now we turn to Daniel. Daniel, and we are going to see something about who is to rule. Because if the man child is caught up to the throne of God to rule the nations, then let us check with Daniel and see who is this person to rule. We find in Daniel 7 and verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever, forever and ever. Then we go on to verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given unto the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Praise be to God. We go on down to verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and the dominions, all dominions, shall serve and obey him. So we find, therefore, that the salvation of the soul is the coming forth of the man-child. Amen. The salvation of the soul is the rapture, the lifting up of the soul above all principalities and powers. Amen. I might as well say this, brethren, that the word rapture never did in English mean to be lifted up. Rapture? No. Brethren, would you say I raptured this desk? I lifted it up. Would you say I raptured the desk? Wouldn't that be very strange language? Amen. These are the kind of spiritual wickedness that I have seen in the church. The Bible tells me two were in the field, one taking the other left, and those people deliberately falsified the word taken. In every translation of the Bible, they falsify just in order not to blast their own doctrines to smithereens. For if they dared put the truth right there, they would have blasted the doctrine that they have about the rapture right on that little point. Two shall be in the field, one taken, the other left. You know what the word taken means? The word taken means arrested for judgment. It is the same word that was spoken, the same word in the Hebrew that was spoken for Jesus Christ when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible said he was taken. Amen. And they translated the same word as a word for judgment in several other places, three other parts in the Bible, and in that one place, because it would have torn the God, their gospel to pieces, or their life to pieces, they said taken, and they left it at that. And it has been preached in the seminaries, taught up and down, that the word taken meant the one would be taken would be in the rapture, taken away in the rapture. And that was a complete lie being put under the shadow of truth. And so, brethren, we find that this thing that they call rapture, the person who used the word rapture, he used it again to deceive. Because rapture never meant lifting up a person physically. Amen. When we speak of rapture, we mean ecstasy. We mean being lifted up in the spirit. Rapture never did mean being lifted up physically. And no man did ever use such English to describe a physical lifting up. Amen. But they did it here, and they deceived us for many years. Amen. Because people prefer not to think. They prefer their pastors to think for them. But blessed be to God, God is bringing a people to be enlightened in this last hour. Then, amen, we find that the body is to be delivered. The body is to be saved. The body is to be set free from the bondage of its corruption. We find a scripture in Job where Job is saying that, in my flesh shall I see God for myself and not another. And there again, they went into the Bible and they tried to disfigure it. They say they are making new translation, and every new translation is a new doctrine by somebody. They want to propound his doctrine, he writes the Bible. My God, what a dangerous thing to do. See, they want to propound a new doctrine, they write a Bible. And so, when we look into the Amplified Version, trying to find truth, I said, let me check up on the Amplified Version, what the Amplified Version says about what our brother Job said, that I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall come at the last day, and that he shall, I shall see him with my own eyes. And nobody else is going to, it's not another body I'm going to use, but I'm going to use the same body and see him for myself, and not another. Which one? 1926. And he, you know what the Amplified said? The Amplified said, I'll see him in my spirit. Yes. Amen. The Amplified give a little twist. Give it a little twist to put us out of the, just to fulfill somebody's doctrine. Amen. I don't trust them. Amen. I like to know that God is with me when I'm reading my Bible. And I am satisfied with my King James Version. With all the mistakes they say they have made, they deliberately, honestly try to put it together. Amen. Although they were all Roman Catholics. Amen. Hallelujah. And for Roman Catholics to have done so well, they did a good job. Here we are. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the last, pardon me, I'm reading verse 25, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And if you notice, the word day was not in the Hebrew at all. He did not say he'll stand at the latter day, but that was one of the things in the Hebrew that was understood. He said on the latter, meaning in the latter times, on the latter days, upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. That was too hard for some people to take, that after the flesh was destroyed, the flesh is going to see God. But I'm going to show you to the Bible that it will work. It definitely will work. Whom I shall see for myself. Rick is not going to see him on my behalf. Neither anybody else, but I shall see him from for myself. And mine eyes that the worms eat out shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. He was saying, though the very inmost part of his being was eaten out, was destroyed and consumed. Amen. He said, I know I shall see him. Amen. So, praise be to God, we find that in Amen. Let's turn our Bibles around here a little. Get something else for you there. Job was speaking of him seeing God for himself. He was speaking of a bodily, physical resurrection. Amen. I read for you already a bodily, physical resurrection of the saints after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that it was a physical resurrection. The Bible said the graves were open. Now those men's spirits weren't in the graves. Their souls were not in the grave. Then what would the graves be opening for if their bodies weren't coming out? Amen. The graves opened because glorified bodies were coming out, and those bodies had physical weight. Amen. And so the rocks rent, the Bible said. And they came out and manifested themselves to people, showed themselves to people, because they wanted them to know that a resurrection was going on. Amen. Now we go around to Romans.
Can I ask you one question? Would you say that their spirits and their souls would have returned for a short period of time to their bodies?
Their spirits went back into their bodies, sir. Their souls had to go back into their bodies, because there could not be a resurrection of the man unless spirit, soul, and body meet. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body had to meet, or there could be no resurrection of that man. Amen. This is what Jesus did. He entered back into the tomb, and he quickened his body. He went back into his body, and he folded up the clothes that Mary had fixed up for him. He folded up back neatly, and put it down there, and he was now clothed in spiritual garments. Amen. He walked out not naked but clothed. Amen. So we find spiritual people are clothed. We found Adam and Eve were clothed before they sinned. And when they sinned, they became naked. They found out that they were naked. Jesus said, "Who told you that you were naked?" They said, "Well, you must have eaten the fruit." Amen. Because they sinned, they found out that they were naked. Every spirit you see is clothed. You ever seen a naked spirit? He must be some demon. Every spirit is clothed. The Bible said, "We shall be clothed upon." Amen. We will be clothed. We won't be naked. And so Adam and Eve clothes dropped off of them when they sinned. Just dropped off and left them naked. They were no longer clothed. Jesus rose up from the dead, and he was clothed. And he was clothed every day he was seen. He came to the wall, he was clothed, and yet it was not natural clothes. Now, let's check the scripture here. Romans 8 and verse around 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Now, he's speaking here of a quickening in our mortal bodies that we wouldn't even need death. But if we die, we are going to return for our bodies. Yeah. We are going to return for our bodies. And we are going to call back our bodies to life. Because one spirit went and quickened Christ. And another spirit quickened Jesus. Amen. There was a soul man down in hell. The spirit man wasn't in hell. He had gone to the Father. The body wasn't in hell, it was in the grave. And although some people want to tell you hell is the grave, amen, it's only a symbolic term. You use the word grave for hell, amen. But the body was in the tomb just where Mary had put it. It never moved. The soul was in hell where Satan had taken it at his death. The spirit was with God, but the spirit that occupied his soul had gone to God to plead for his soul. And when the spirit re-entered the soul in hell, the soul came alive. And the soul sought its body and entered into its body. And the spirit, of course, entered into him, the soul. So that's why here you see two spirits. He said, if the spirit that quickened, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus, the man, the soul man, named Jesus, raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, he that raised up Christ, the anointed one, from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal, physical, natural bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. Now, we find therefore the soul, the spirit saved, the soul saved, and now the salvation of the body. Romans 8, verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited, the creature is waiting, the creature is still not quickened, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. We didn't want it done. We didn't willingly submit ourselves to this wretched condition. But by reason of him who had subjected us in hope, God did it. But he had a great hope when he did it. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Romans 8:23, the redemption of the body. And in that hour, man shall be saved, spirit, soul, and body. Man's salvation shall be complete. Amen. Hallelujah. Saved, redeemed, bought and paid for. Amen. Well, may God bless you tonight, brethren. Praise be to God. I think Brother Smiley will maybe lead you in a course or so, and if there are any questions, wait, hold your questions, write it down. let's have a course first.
Praise the Lord.
Then we're going to pray.
This is the end of message, M. 126. God's plan of salvation.